Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 610. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran today and tomorrow. Steve is back on Sunday. God, it's good to be here. Great to see you guys. We have Chuck Todd coming up at 640. So many things to talk to Chuck about. I feel like I need to recap a few things from the past few weeks because I'm a huge fan of Chuck Todd. I listen to him every week on the Cochran Show, and there's a few things I want to talk about. I watch Meet the Press religiously every single Sunday.
It's great because it's not just another talking head, and he gets the big names.
And he doesn't let go either. And I mean, if he'll ask a question, they don't answer the question, he's back at it.
His show is the alternative fact, the origin of the alternative facts.
You're right. You're right. Remember? We also have Chris Kennedy coming up at 7:10, who announced yesterday he's running for governor of our state. Yes. All right. It's time for the 6 at 6.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top 6 at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
The top 6 at 6 on 720 WGN.
Coming in at number one, President Trump attacked three judges as politically motivated while making their decision on the travel ban. He called the hearing disgraceful and said, I don't want to call a court biased, but they seem to be politically motivated. And his Supreme Court nominee, Judge Neil Gorsuch, called Trump's remarks demoralizing and disheartening.
You know what is not disheartening? The fact that he came out and said that. Because don't you think, I mean, he's criticizing the judicial branch. You know,
right.
You can't have the executive and the judicial branches butting heads. I mean, this is the cornerstone of our democracy. You don't criticize another judge.
And it's going to help him with the nomination process, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think it's not going to do him any favors when they rule on the travel ban.
At number two, Senator Jeff Sessions confirmed last night as President Trump's attorney general. Bitter, bitter battle. Wow. Elizabeth Warren, she was silenced on the Senate floor. It's just, it keeps getting more bitter. It does.
And you know what's awful, too? She was silenced while she was reading a letter from the widow of Dr. Martin Luther King. She was reading a letter that Coretta Scott King had written 20 plus years prior when Jeff Sessions was about to be confirmed as Attorney General for Alabama. She's just reading a letter.
This has helped Elizabeth Warren, don't you think?
Big time. How about all the hashtags? It's like a I'm with her part two kind of thing.
Hillary Clinton. Yes, she did the
Go
same
Liz.
Thing. At number three, President Trump also lashed out at Nordstrom's on Twitter yesterday for dropping Ivanka's fashion brand. His tweet was, my daughter Ivanka has been treated so unfairly by Nordstrom. She's a great person, always pushing me to do the right thing. Terrible. Really? Just put the phone down.
No, I completely agree. Imagine if, you know, Barack Obama or pick anybody had gone on and talked about Sasha and Malia, or Bill Clinton had talked about Chelsea's line.
And, you know, Nordstrom prides themselves on great service.
Sure.
And nobody's unhappy with them.
No.
Nobody.
Doesn't he have more important things to be worried about?
How is she being treated unfairly if she's not running the business anymore?
That's true, right? Remember he had the big press conference and
yes.
He said, I'm going to have nothing to do with this. And then Ivanka stepped down from the clothing
right.
line.
So
maybe it
I don't understand. That's a red flag to me. Businessman Chris Kennedy has thrown his hat in the ring and is running as a Democratic candidate for governor. He's the son of former Senator Robert F. Kennedy. I met Chris when he was the president of the Merchandise Mart. Very approachable guy. I saw him walking through the hallways and I said, hey, I'd love to have you on my show. He came on my show a few times. He was in the studio here at WGN.
Yeah, he'll be on with us today, too. Former president of the U of I Board of Trustees, right after the whole Blagojevich scandal.
Instant name recognition will bring national attention to this election, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. At number five, top 6 at 6, where is Tom Brady's jersey? Whoever has his jersey, Pawn Stars Rick Harrison said they can get at least $200,000 for it.
I still don't understand how somebody stole it out of the Patriots locker room.
Well,
I mean, there has to be better security.
It has to be somebody at the arena. They stole his jersey.
Yeah. But I mean, I've been in a lot of locker rooms in my life, Pete, and you can't just walk up and take a player's stuff. I mean, someone would see you. I just don't know how they pulled it off.
And there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you have the jersey, you can't sell it.
And, well, I mean, you couldn't walk out of the locker room with the jersey. Where are you going to stick it in your shirt? I mean.
Well, somebody, let's say someone of course, stole there are a lot it, of people put it walk- in their coat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Who would have been wearing a coat inside the stadium, inside the locker room?
I think it's easier to snag, obviously, than we would think.
To me, it sounds
everything going on after the big game. Of course, it's an inside job. You can't sell the jersey once you have it. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
I'm going to steal something of yours today, and you're not going to know, and I'm going to show you how easy it is.
I have nothing worth anywhere close to that.
And at number six, Yahoo Sports Wednesday reported that MLB is testing a new extra inning rule in the minor leagues. Now, listen to this. The rule will automatically place a runner on second base at the start of extra innings. Dave?
They're going to try this, I believe, in the World Baseball Classic this spring.
I don't like it.
It's
like T-ball. It seems like T-ball to me.
But I want to see how it works. I mean, let's just see. I mean, look, it's a little bit like the overtime system in college football, which when they first started it, people didn't like it. It's been pretty good. And I'm sure part of the motivation here is to avoid these 15, 16-inning games that go on. And people don't have the attention span for that anymore. And TV doesn't like it because it messes up their program schedule. So try to bring games to a conclusion.
A runner on second.
Mm-hmm. You still have to get them out.
Joe Torre, MLB's chief baseball officer, said, let's see what it looks like. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try it.
What to see, what's out at the show, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on GM's Cochrane show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
6:22, let's talk movies with Nick D. Nick, how you doing, man?
All right, buddy, how are you?
Good. Before we get to your movies, I want to talk about It's a Dog's Life. My 11-year-old son, Charlie, went and saw it, and he came home and he said, Dad.
You mean a dog's purpose.
A dog's purpose, yes. Thank you.
Okay.
He said, Dad.
No, I know.
We have a dog. Don't go see this movie because dogs keep dying and one gets shot. Why would they do that?
Yeah. I mean, it's been advertised as sort of this uplifting kind of happy movie.
Sure.
When in fact it's filled with death. Not just dogs dying, but people die in the movie too.
Oh, great. I have to go see it today with my husband because he really wants to see it.
No.
And I'm like, oh. Okay,
Nick, forgive me. Did you like this movie?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
It's not very good. The one thing I did like about it though, is that it's a movie called A Dog's Purpose and it's directed by a guy named Lassie.
First name or last name?
Really?
First name. His name is Lassie Hallström. And he also, by the way, directed My Life as a Dog. So he's got two movies with dog in the title, and his first name is Lassie.
Okay. It's a dog thing. All right.
Yeah.
We got the Lego Batman movie. When the Lego movie came out, Batman was the breakout star in that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And, when the Lego movie came out, I didn't expect anything. I was like, what is this? This is just going to be really silly. I'm stupid. The whole Lego thing, I don't have kids, so I don't understand. You know, I've never experienced the insane Lego phenomenon that is, you know, creating different worlds. You got your Star Wars. You got all this Harry Potter. They all become Legos. I didn't understand. When I was a kid, Legos were just shaped like bricks, and you build a wall.
You're right, man.
You were lucky if you got one person in the set.
Exactly. You spent more time stepping on them and screaming in pain than putting anything together.
Yep.
But so I didn't understand it, and when I saw the Lego movie, I was blown away by how good it was and how funny it was and how smart and how beautifully animated it was. The stuff with Batman in that movie – with Will Arnett was so funny. And now they've made an entire movie based on the Batman, and you've got Zach Galifianakis as the Joker, Ralph Fiennes is Alfred. Michael Cera is Robin. And it's just got if you look at the credits of this movie, like who's in it and who's provided the voices, it's a who's who of brilliant and really smart comedy people and talents. The guys behind it, the guy who directed it, is one of the creative forces behind the really brilliant show that Seth Green helped create called Robot Chicken. And so I've got really high hopes for this. And it's one of those movies, like the Lego Movie was a movie that was like really, really funny and great for kids. You know, the kids loved it. But if like you're a father or you're a mother and you're taking your kid to see some stupid kid movie that you don't want to see, there in the way that these movies are being made, this is made for adults as well. There's a lot of really funny jokes for adults, so adults won't be bored stiff by it. In fact, they probably might like it more than the kids do.
I got to tell you, I love the Lego Movie. I've probably seen it three times, but I did go see it at the movie theater, and you're right. They put jokes in there now for adults, and you understand it. It's like, oh, yeah, that was a great one right there, especially Batman. He was so good. I hope it can live up to it.
Yeah, no, I think it will. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard nothing but great things. And like I said, the creative people behind this, a lot of the people who put the first Lego Movie together, and they've hired a bunch of really great comedy writers to punch up the script. And like I said, the voice talent is like a who's who of great comedy right now. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to make a ton of money over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's going to be the big one of the week.
And Keanu Reeves has a new movie?
Listen, man, this movie, John Wick, Chapter 2, let me explain something to you. When I saw, like Lego Movie, but on a different level. When I saw John Wick, I went in with the lowest expectations.
Low expectations.
Now, real low expectations. Now, I am one of the few people on the planet that loves Keanu Reeves. I think Keanu Reeves is great.
Really?
I think he's a really, and I think he's a really good actor and a really smart guy.
Wow.
And I know that that's like an unpopular opinion, but I think he's awesome. And I am like the captain of the Keanu Reeves fan club.
Give me your top three movies besides Matrix.
Bill and Ted. He's great in My Own Private Idaho. He's great in Point Break. He's great in
Point Break. He was great in that movie.
Yeah.
Johnny Utah.
I don't even know.
100% pure adrenaline.
That's right, man. Utah, give me two. That movie is phenomenal. But I'm a huge fan. Now, I mean, granted, when I went to go see John Wick, I had a really, because it was like a first time director who was a stuntman, who was actually the guy who directed this movie and the first one, was his double, his stunt double on the Matrix movies. So now this guy's directed movies, and I'm thinking, oh, God, this is going to be terrible. And I went in with a real low expectation, and John Wick, the first movie, kicked ass.
What?
It was so great.
Really?
So great. Oh, my God, yes. Like, action-packed. He turns out to be a really badass action hero. And I'm telling you right now, John Wick Chapter 2, it's going to be better than Citizen Kane. I'm telling you right
what?
Now, it's going to be the greatest movie ever made.
Are you okay, Nick? Are you feeling okay today?
No, listen, has anybody in that room seen John Wick?
I have not, but I'm trying to think the last Keanu Reeves movie I've seen, and it's probably Point Break on cable, but The Matrix was on 2 weeks ago. I kind of watched part
Speed's
of that.
Speed's on a lot in reruns.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
well,
about Speed.
You should watch, I'm telling you, watch John Wick.
John Wick.
I'm telling you, he plays a retired hitman, and in the first movie, they steal his car and kill his dog. So he comes out of retirement and just starts killing people.
Why do all the dogs have to keep dying?
Yeah, what's with the dog? Yeah. Does he ever smile? Keanu Reeves never smiles.
He's very serious.
It depends on the part.
When?
It depends on the part. He smiles.
Even in Speed,
he's
got
to go out and find the bad guys, Mayor. That's what he's doing.
So in this one, they take him out of retirement, and there's like a whole group of assassins that have a secret society, and he has to go in and kill everybody. It's going to be the best movie ever. And on top of that, Keanu is reunited with Morpheus because Lawrence Fishburne is in this movie. So like Neo and Morpheus reunited, kicking ass and killing people.
Really?
It's going to be phenomenal.
Okay,
yeah,
Lawrence
great.
Fishburne.
Can't wait.
And the last time, when 50 Shades came out, I had to see it because, you know, you want to see it and talk about it on the radio. I went to a screening, or I didn't go to a screening. I just went to the movie theater at 10 o'clock one morning. I think it was 2 days after it came out. And I was the only one in the theater by myself.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were the only guy.
Okay. I was the only person in the theater.
Yeah. Okay, so you're by yourself. How creepy is that, you are a guy at 10 o'clock in the morning going to see that movie by yourself? Did you wear a raincoat?
And it was in IMAX.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it was an IMAX.
I walked in and I'm like, oh my God, And somebody came in and checked, and I'm like, I'm okay. I'm here right. by myself. I'm right here.
Well, police, you know why they were checking you.
Yeah.
You know why they were checking you? Because they wanted to arrest you like they did Pee Wee Herman.
Of That's course.
Exactly why they're.
That is weird.
It would be creepier if you were the second person in the theater.
It was very strange.
Oh, bad least movie, too.
Strange.
It was not even that great of a movie.
I thought it was okay.
It's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay because I like Dakota Johnson. I like her.
I do, too.
She's good.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I think she's great. You know, she was. You ever watch the TV show that she was on called? Now I can't even remember the name of it. Something like Ben and Kate, but it had nothing to do with babies.
No,
they played brothers. It was Nat Fox and her. It was on Fox. It was a sitcom on Fox of 4 years ago. She was terrific on that show.
It was
very,
Ben and
very,
Kate.
Very fun. Yep. Yeah, Ben and Kate. It was a great show. And she was great on it.
If you're Don Johnson, do you go see this movie to support your daughter?
I'd say
well,
no.
They talked to both. They talked to both Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson about it when the first movie came out, and they said that they did. They did see it, and Don Johnson said he was relatively uncomfortable during the entire thing. So.
Well, yeah, his daughter's naked throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, and in handcuffs.
Yeah. Well, I forgot about the handcuffs. That's right.
Yeah.
Is there any buzz about 50 Shades Darker? I mean, 50 Shades of Grey was huge. I really haven't heard anything. Is there?
Yeah. No, it's supposed to be worse. So here's the detail that I got. My critic buddies who went to the preview and screened it last night, and a bunch of my critic buddies went. And so I got a text. I got some texts from some guys. At one point in the movie, the Christian Grey, the main character guy, you know, he's supposed to be this rich, you know, dude who's damaged and, you know, brings this girl into this sort of like sadomasochistic relationship. And evidently, there's a scene in the movie where they're where they're showing his like beautiful, vast penthouse apartment, and there's a framed movie poster on the wall, and it's for the Vin Diesel movie, The Chronicles of Riddick, and that got the biggest laugh of anything in the movie.
Oh my God, he's miscast in this movie, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know who you would cast in this. But the original guy that they had was a guy named Charlie Hunan, who was in the Sons of Anarchy. Like the really handsome hot guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
He was originally cast to play the part, and then I guess he read the script and went, no. And
no, thank you. And how many more of these movies do we have coming out? This will be the second.
The third one is being made right now, even if this one bombs, which it won't. The real disappointing thing is the guy who directed this directed Glengarry Glen Ross.
What?
And, yes, and At Close Range with Sean Penn and Christopher Walken. James Foley is his name. The guy's a tremendous director, and I have no idea what he's doing here. He's collecting a paycheck.
Yes, absolutely.
And he signed on to do the next chapter, which they're making. I predict that this movie, like the first movie, The 50 Shades of Grey, it opened up huge at the box office with, if I remember correctly, around like $80, $85 million. So a massive opening weekend. I have a feeling that this thing is going to be lucky to crack 30 grand, 30, 30 grand, 30, 30 million.
Maybe 30 grand.
Maybe 30 grand. Yeah. Mm. No, I think it'll drop to about 30 million. So like it'll make about, you know, 50 million less than the first one did. And I don't see this thing being as big because people who went to see the first movie on that opening weekend, people who had read the book went, people who were curious about it went, and it sucked. And so they're not going to come out.
Right.
That's what I did. Read the book.
Women went together.
Yeah.
My wife went with all her girlfriends. It was a big deal. Yep. This one, not so much.
I think because we thought it was going to be better than it actually was.
Nick D., thank you, buddy.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. President Trump has more comments for Chicago. The big story with Andrea coming up next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So there it is, folks. It's as plain as you can have it. I didn't. And I was a good student. I understand things. I comprehend very well. Okay? Better than, I think, almost anybody. And I want to tell you, I listened to a bunch of stuff last night on television that was disgraceful. It was disgraceful. We want security. One of the reasons I was elected was because of law and order and security. That's one of the reasons I was elected. Also, jobs.
Seven twenty WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Let's bring him up. He's the host of Meet the Press on NBC every single Sunday. It's Chuck Todd. Chuck, how you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. Good morning to you.
Chuck, I want to give you some props first, because I hear Cochran say week after week, I listen to you on Cochran. I watch your show every single week. He says this is must-watch TV on Sundays, and I'm going to tell you why. Number one, 3 weeks ago, Kellyanne Conway said Sean Spicer used alternative facts. You did not let her go. You kept pressing her. I love that. 2 weeks ago, Reince Priebus said he tried to defend that the Jews were left out of the Holocaust Remembrance Day press release. You pressed him on that, and you wouldn't let go. I loved it. And, of course, last week we had Vice President Pence on talking about how President Trump, this is just the way he deals with people. That's unacceptable. It really is.
Well, and his comments on the judiciary, you know, the fact is, he may win this case, okay? He's not wrong that there is a wide, you know, that there is a lot of deference given to the executive branch on this issue. But what he's doing is he's making it harder for these judges to feel independent. I mean, what he's doing is undermining that independence. He could be hurting himself more. And by doing these interpretations while we're in the middle, essentially, of the arguments, is just, you know, it's not illegal. It's not like presidents haven't expressed their skepticism about judicial actions in the past, but he's doing it in a way that, if it doesn't go his way, you're just going to have half the country believing that the judges are political, you know.
Right.
And it's part of a pattern that seems to be undermining some basic institutions in the democracy.
What did you think of his Supreme Court nominee, Judge Neil Gorsuch, calling Trump's remarks demoralizing and disheartening?
I would have been surprised if he didn't say something like that. I mean, everything you understand about him, and I mean, this is one of the leading lights in the federal court system. So I'd have been surprised had he not said something like that.
Jeff Sessions was confirmed last night as President Trump's attorney general. I mean, I feel like everything that happens in Washington nowadays is a bitter, bitter fight. Are we going to see this for the next 3.25 years or 4 years? Three weeks in now?
I know. 3 weeks. Week three, it feels like year three, you know, where you've got a battered president politically, approval rating mired in the 40s, an opposition that is chomping at the bit, very united. That's usually in the third year of the presidency. So the fact that we're here already says a lot. Look, I think this is a new normal. I think the Democratic Party leadership in Washington is sort of still a little shell-shocked by the energy that's in the base, and they're letting the base sort of dictate things. I think they realize they can't get caught helping Trump anywhere. I don't know if this is sustainable. I don't know if the energy will sit there. I don't know if there's a price to be paid, but if you look at what happened during the Tea Party years, you can make an argument that politically may not be good for the democracy if we sort of govern by extremes like this, but politically it was pretty good for the Republicans, the Tea Party movement. Maybe it is politically it's helpful to the Democrats.
Chuck, I agree with you. I think it's sad, though, that this is the new norm. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Mitch McConnell smackdown of Elizabeth Warren, whether or not she did go over the time and was warned. I think the way he dressed her was just completely, I think that was demoralizing and rude.
Well, look, they're in a huge, you know, this is Senate rule fighting 101. And I think they're angry. I think McConnell's angry at Schumer. I think Democrats are angry at McConnell. And so I think this was McConnell trying to gum up their whole plan. I don't think he realized how helpful he was going to end up being to the opposition on this one. I think if he knew what the fallout would have been, you wouldn't have had that attempt. But I think this was about some tired senators mad at each other over exploitation of the rules.
We're talking with Chuck Todd, the host of Meet the Press. Yesterday, President Trump tweeted out to Nordstrom's, "My daughter Ivanka has been treated so unfairly by Nordstrom. She's a great person, always pushing me to do the right thing." Terrible exclamation point. How is she being treated unfairly if she's not running the business anymore?
No, it's a great question. Look, I think this is the, you know, it's funny. We're talking about the travel ban and all these other what appear to be more serious challenges to his presidency. And this flippant tweet that he made on Nordstrom could lead to a series of lawsuits that, you know, whether it's unfair trade practices, state of California could file this lawsuit on behalf of Nordstrom without Nordstrom agreeing to it. And last time I checked, state of California has a Democratic attorney general. I had two gentlemen on my show yesterday, the two gentlemen who were the former chief ethics advisors to the last two presidents, Bush and Obama. And they have already filed suit. So I think that's a tweet that is going to haunt the president legally for months.
Shoot first, aim later. That's President Trump right there. And one last thing. Chris Kennedy announced yesterday that he's going to run for governor of Illinois. Does this become a national story because of his name?
This is not the first time he's been trying to break through in Illinois politics. So, there's always some cachet that comes with the Kennedy name financially. But, you know, you've seen plenty of Illinois primaries having the famous name, coming from the political family. That didn't exactly work out too well for Dan Hines against Barack Obama. So, look, I think just by the nature of a Republican running for reelection in a blue state, and all the controversy that come between Rauner and the legislature, I don't think it matters who's governor. The new gubernatorial nominee on the Democratic side, this is going to be a pretty rough fight.
Oh, yeah. Chuck Todd, Meet the Press. Chuck, you're the best. I watch every week. It's a pleasure to talk
to you. You got it. Thanks a lot.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
714, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Businessman Chris Kennedy has thrown his hat in the ring and is running as a Democratic candidate for governor. Our biggest question is why? Why? He was so happy in the private sector. Right. On the phone with us is Chris Kennedy. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Chris, I met you years ago when you were the president of the Merchandise Mart. I saw you walking in the hallways. You were smiling from ear to ear. You came in studio with me at WGN Radio here on Michigan Avenue. You seem so happy. You know, once you enter the ring in politics, things change.
I think they change for the better, and I hope that that's what's going to happen as a result of this candidacy and this election.
Well, it got ugly yesterday. Governor Rauner called you a Madigan crony. He sent out a tweet yesterday.
I think that's insulting to me. It's insulting to the entire Kennedy family, but more importantly, it's insulting to the voters. Is that all he's got? He's not going to educate us. He's not going to define the differences between our life experiences or his vision for the future of the state. He's simply going to tag me with the same line he used over and over again all fall against every elected candidate. I mean, come on.
Chris, we need a balanced budget in this state. Right now, we're just going from stopgap to stopgap. How are we going to do that? If you're elected, what are the first steps that you're going to take to get a solid balanced budget in place?
Well, let me say this. Pat Quinn had a balanced budget, and if Pat Quinn can do it, why can't Governor Rauner? The truth is he's never made the effort to meet with the legislature individually, with individual members, or with the leadership on a continued basis. He sees negotiation as failure. He sees compromise as capitulation. That's not true. The governor needs to see the legislature as a partner in all of this, and a representative of the people that elected them, too.
Chris, what's your motivation to run for governor? I know you want to get the state back on track, but, you know, you talk to your family. Deep down, what's your motivation?
You know, I continue to have an office over at the Merchandise Mart, and if that's all I knew about the city, I would think our state was in great shape. But Sheila and I run Top Box Foods, so we're out in the community all the time on 95th Street and 79th Street and 71st Street and 43rd Street and up in Waukegan and North Chicago and Round Lake and all over northern Illinois. And as you see what's happening in our state, you know, we're 70%, 75% of the kids who graduate high schools are not ready to enter the 21st century workforce. They can't get a job. They can't enter college or community college or go to a trade school without remedial education. 75% of the kids who graduate can't do those things. We're dooming them to a life of economic oppression. Why are we allowing that to occur?
Chris, you didn't.
Have you ever heard that from the governor? He's been governor for 2 years now. He's never said that.
Chris, you helmed the U of I Board of Trustees after the whole Blagojevich debacle. How can we pay for education funding and pension reform without relying so heavily on property taxes or even a tax increase?
Well, I don't think we can tax our way out of the problems that we face in the state of Illinois, but I don't think we can cut our way out either. I do think that, you know, we got through the Depression, we got through World War II, the Vietnam War, the Great Recession, and in each of those times, we always had a state budget. Why is it so much harder now? Why can every state do it, and we can't?
I feel like no one can get along anymore in politics. The Republicans, the Democrats, we're talking to Chris Kennedy, is running for Democratic candidate for governor. Now, Chris, I mentioned yesterday that Governor Rauner called you a Madigan crony. He put $50 million in his war chest. I feel like this has already started. It's going to be a dirty campaign, and we're still 13 months out.
Well, I'm not worried about a billionaire. I've never been scared of a billionaire in my life, and I'm not about to start now. But the outcome of this election shouldn't be about the size of the man's wallet. It should be about a candidate's, the strength of their vision for the future, the breadth of their ideas, and I'd say the depth of their commitment. And Governor Rauner has failed on all of those fronts to meet his obligation as the leader of our state.
Chris, what are your thoughts on Donald Trump's comments about Chicago and Chicago's violence and bringing in the feds and yesterday taking a swing again at the city saying something needs to be done, even though the numbers are completely off? But his comments and his rebukes continue on Chicago. What will you do if elected to either work with the federal government or work with him or just not at all? Maybe put a bridge up there.
Well, you know, President Trump is wrong about Chicago, and he's wrong to threaten an effort to cut off funding to our police force because we are a sanctuary city. But most importantly, we have a mayor that thought he was going to have a partner in the governor's office who would help the city of Chicago. And what's happened in Illinois is we've cut off funding for the city programs for after-school matters. We've cut off funding for the proven efforts that help reduce gang gun violence. We've done nothing to stem the flow of illegal guns coming out of Indiana. And the governor and his ally in Washington, Donald Trump, have done nothing to support the effort of the city and the police department and really community leadership to make our community safer. It's not about Chicago, though, and just about Chicago. There are communities that actually have worse per capita violence than we do in our city.
Right. I lived in Rockford for years. Rockford is so violent right now, and the economy is in the toilet. I grew up in Peoria. I know you have name recognition here in Chicago, but you got to work downstate, man, if you want any chance.
And I'm headed downstate today, and I'll actually end up in both Peoria and Rockford before the sun sets tomorrow night. Those are communities that I'm very comfortable with and where we can provide great economic rebirth. They're both in areas where there are great universities and great medical research and great high tech. And we can combine all of those things with government leadership to rebuild the economy, just like it's been rebuilt in places like Austin, Texas, or Silicon Valley, or Boston, Massachusetts. But we need to bring those great assets together, and we need government leadership to do so.
You're number 8 out of 11. I'm number 6 out of 12. My mother will have lunch ready in Peoria today. I'll tell her you're stopping by, Chris, okay?
Thank you. She won't be surprised if there's a few extra, I'm sure.
Chris Kennedy. Thank you, Chris. Have a good day.
Thanks, Chris.
guys have a great day. Thank you.
All right, Chris Kennedy running for governor. /7:26 Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We'll talk to the mayor in about 14 minutes. They have a new L-stop. When was the last time you heard that? They're putting in a new L-stop in Chicago.
Yeah, Green Line.
Yeah.
Nice, too.
That's good stuff. You're a hoarder, right?
I know. I am.
I think it's the Mediterranean blood. My mother is a hoarder. I have cousins, aunts, uncles that are hoarders. I married a Norwegian woman from Wisconsin. She's the complete opposite.
She throws everything out?
I used to be a hoarder. I'm not a hoarder anymore.
I guess I should say I don't save, you know, I don't have boxes throughout my home and cats. You know, I'm not a weird hoarder, but I do save a lot of stuff from the past.
Why do you do that?
Just to have the memories.
What are you holding on to them for? Because I have a box from high school.
I don't know. Oh, I do too. Do you have some of your papers from grade school too?
Maybe a few.
Oh yeah, me too. Just a few.
But I have tons of stuff from high school and a big box that's been sitting in my garage for probably 20 years.
See, mine's all at my mom's house and she constantly is like, get this stuff out of the house.
My mom moved and she said, if you don't get your stuff, we're throwing it away. I go, what? This coming from you? You save everything. Right. What do you mean? Dave, are you a hoarder?
I'm not a hoarder, but I do have boxes. You know what I have? You might have this. I have boxes of cassette tapes in my basement.
What do you do with those?
I don't. Well, first of all, who's got cassette recorders or players anymore? I mean, I have one or two, but they're broken down.
I tried to donate cassette tapes one time. I had a big, you know, remember how they used to hold like 100 at a time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I literally tried to donate them. It was either Goodwill or Salvation Army, and they said, we don't want these. No, thanks.
Well, like music decay. Or your air checks?
I was turned away. No, they were music. Like
yeah, mine are air checks, and they decay.
What about reel-to-reels? What do you do with those?
Reel-to-reel?
I have some
of those, too.
I have a couple, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I took my final in college on a reel-to-reel.
The reason I ask is because we're cleaning up our basement. My wife's starting the spring cleaning, and I'm going through all this stuff. And I do have cassette tapes. And back when I first started in Chicago at WCKG, we recorded our shows on VHS. So I have a big box of VHS tapes. What do you do with those?
Oh, I've got those, too.
Or how about the Hi-8? Remember the little teeny tapes or the 3/4 inch?
The Beta?
Oh, smaller than the Beta.
We
are so dating ourselves.
I found a VHS player, so I grabbed it.
How do you convert it? You got to take it to somebody. You got a guy?
Yeah, you can.
I can do it. We can do it at my house. I can.
Yeah. We have a machine in the sports office.
Oh, you do? Can I bring them? I have about probably 35.
Sure, as long as you can do it like quickly.
Well, I want you to go through them. I don't want to have to sit through them and listen to my own voice.
You have a machine that converts from cassette tape to CD?
No, we used to. I don't even think we have it anymore.
Oh, you do too. Now you're just saying it.
You know what I'm going to do for
Dave
tomorrow? Since I'm in here one more day, I'm going to make a mixtape for everybody.
Oh,
an actual tape.
Love mixtapes.
Yes. And write on that little sticker and put it on the cassette tape. The East Coast is getting pounded with snow. Andrea with the big story coming up next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:41, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It's not often that you get a new L-stop. Let's bring in the man that runs our city. It's Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Mr. Mayor, congratulations on this deal for the West Side.
Yeah, well, that's one of many totally new L-stops. Yeah, this one is going to be at Lake and Damon. It's going to provide all those people on the West Side a modern L-stop, and it's going to, I think, also pull all that those jobs and economic activity that's happening around Fulton Market, all that farther west, and really create a dynamic scene, both for residents and for retail development.
Can you, as the mayor, ride the L on a regular basis?
I do, twice a week.
Twice a week? And do people come up to you because you see the mayor, you want to complain right away. You want to tell you.
No, that's actually, it's funny. That's not, first of all, almost 80% is a nod. They don't really see you, and then they kind of look. There's a double take, and then there's a nod. But I've had great conversations for people telling me about what they like about, you know, what's going on in the city, what book they're reading. I usually, if somebody's reading a book, I'll say, do you like it, and we'll talk about books. But, you know, people tell you things that are going on in their life, positive, daycare. You know, I've run into parents who are dropping kids off at daycare and taking the L, and, talk about their daycare. It's not that often. You know, they do. There are people that will tell you, I like X or Y, but there's also people that will tell you what they like, not, you know, not just complaining.
Right. Okay.
They usually reserve that for WGN radio.
Oh, no. Hey, no.
But I take it twice a week, and I will tell you a funny story. So I read the paper in the morning. You know, I read four of them, and it's a bad habit from the White House days. And this is like 4 years ago. And I take the Brown Line in from Montrose downtown, 30 minutes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
One day I look up, and I realize I'm the only one reading the newspaper. Everybody's on, you know, their iPhone or iPad, whatever.
Sure.
And I'm like, wow, there's Grandpa. Right here, you know?
So it's like a modern-day Norman Rockwell painting.
Right, and I do all my book reading on my iPad, and I do when I'm out of traveling, checking the paper. So I just switched. I said, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not playing. I'm the only guy with the newspaper.
I'm like you.
Nobody,
I like the hard copy.
On the, yeah. Periodically, you find an article you missed. So, but I take it twice a week. A mantra. So.
Well,
my little venture card.
Mr. Mayor, I want to talk to you about the president's comments this week. He said, and I quote, it's worse in Chicago than in some places in the Middle East where there are wars going on. Now, with President Trump, I always feel like there's a motive or an agenda, and I'm trying to figure out why we here in Chicago are his target. Is it because President Obama calls Chicago his home? Is it because you work for President Clinton and President Obama? What is it?
You're asking me to try to figure out what's going on in this president's head. I can't do that for you. Look, I think there's two things I would say. It's kind of one is at a level. It's sad that a president is ill-informed and continues to repeat certain things. So, look, we have a challenge, and we have to deal with it. I mean, 50% of our challenge is in the Englewood area and the Austin Garfield, and we have to use all our resources as a city to put not only more police, but get them to be proactive, doing what they need to do, unlike last year, where I would say our officers were more reactive. And we need to support them. We need to support our police doing their job in a professional, proactive way. We also need to give every child a mentor in those neighborhoods. Now, last year, which was not a good year, 37 of the 77 neighborhoods experienced actually a decline in shootings and homicides. And this just now is only January, but there's also even greater progress. Now, a lot of that has to do with the good work our men and women are doing, our neighbors are doing with our police, partnering in that effort. But his explanation is Chicago. You know, look, the vice president's home state, Indianapolis, had the worst homicide on record for Indianapolis.
Right.
And there's a real challenge, you know, San Diego, wonderful city, up 80%. Austin, Texas, up 70%. And, you know, and I always, you know, we're kind of stuck, and, a lot of mayors talk about this, and it's happening. You know, Louisville's up 40%. Baltimore's up. And what happened is, for too long, we had a Justice Department was in denial about what I would call a Ferguson effect. They didn't want to hear about it, and they didn't want to address it, and for too long they were coming, you know, and I said to the city attorney general, you're attacking the police. You got to find a place to work with them and praise them. They're part of the solution, not the problem. We want high professional standards so our officers can be proactive and involved in the neighborhoods and communities. We also want to invest in our kids. We want to create economic opportunity, and we want to create certainty around penalties for gun crimes.
Right.
That's what our strategy is. But there's something, but to have go from one extreme, which was a denial that something happened over the last 2 years, which is what was happening at the Justice Department, and they were going, in my view, targeting incorrectly. As I said to the Attorney General, you need to make police a partner in finding a solution here, to then an ill-informed decision that all you have to do is get tough, as if any police chief today would ever tell you that the solution to fighting crime is just get tough.
Right.
It's a more complicated problem, and you want police to be partners with the community, not a problem in the community.
Mayor, I think many Chicagoans, myself included, tired of hearing the criticism. Bring in the feds. I mean, I want to know if you think that's a good idea, but especially on the campaign trail when he said falsely, I believe, again, I can stop the violence in a week. Have any meetings been scheduled? Has anybody from the administration reached out to say, let's go in these neighborhoods?
No, so here's the thing. Well, of course, I also think, I've got to be honest, when you guys do this in your mind's eye, you think the Fed is the law enforcement side. The federal government's bigger than that. So it's just also it's very ill-informed and limited. Do we want greater participation in coordination with the FBI, the drug enforcement agencies, the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm? Of course, we'd love more resources, and they know that up front. We also like to see greater prosecutions at the federal level because it would send a message to the game that you are going to pay a big price for the crimes you're committing. But I want federal help. Look, we've dramatically expanded our summer jobs for our kids from 14,000 to 31,000 with no federal aid. In the last 5 years, the federal government's totally walked away. Well, I want federal send in the feds. Give us resources for mentoring and summer jobs. Give these kids an alternative. I want federal resources to help take 30, 40, 50 years of blighted neighborhoods and create economic opportunity. So take what we're doing today. I'm going to lay out an infrastructure blueprint to create 44,000, 45,000 jobs building our rail system, our schools, our community colleges, our parks, our airports.
Yep.
That creates real economic opportunity.
Put your money where your mouth is, basically. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Let's work. We're doing this all without the federal, not all of it. That's not fair. They're helping us on the red-purple modernization. They're helping us at the airport. But come in here. Rather than us do the lakes, we're doing the Lake and Damon Green Line down on 55th in Washington Park. We're doing that. Or come in here and help us redevelop through public investments in our transportation system, real economic opportunity. So when somebody says, I want to send to the feds, I want all the feds. Okay? Yes. I want to help the IDA.
Send everybody. Bring it.
Yeah, bring them up.
Let's do it.
I want to move in.
Let's go. You want to talk? Talk. You want to bring them? Bring them. I'm with you, man.
So my thing is, Andrea, I know what you meant by the fact everybody thinks that. No.
Right.
I want it all. I don't want
I hear you.
You know, an FBI agent and DA agent without a summer job is an FBI agent and DA agent. You're not actually stopping the next problem.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is, it's not, don't limit it. And but we're going to have this major speech. And here's the thing. I read a story over the weekend. Okay, in business. Chicago's economy over the last 5 years, ever since we've made these major investments in our roads, our rails, our runways, our economy's growing at 2% a year, faster than both D.C. and New York. And D.C. has the federal government, and New York has Wall Street and the financial sector.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that? Because we have unbelievable universities that draws intellectual talent, people with 4 years degree, graduate degree, and we're making an incredible investment in our transportation, parks, and schools. And that's created greater economic growth. Now, our job as a city, make sure everybody in the city can participate and get a chance at it. We want to make sure you can go to college. That's why our graduation rates are increasing at high school. If you're not going there, we want to make sure, you know, the only city, you get a B average in high school, community college is free. You don't want to do that. You want to become a carpenter, an electrician, a painter, a bricklayer. We want that open to you, which is why but Dunbar is now our new trade school. And so we want to make sure everybody has a post-high school education plan. That means they're going to be better prepared for tomorrow to compete and win. And if we do that and everybody's prepared, it will be.
Well, I feel like when the president brings these things up, it's a diversion tactic to bring up Chicago whenever he needs to dismiss and redirect,
right?
Basically.
Well, here's my thing. Take a look at Indianapolis with the vice president. One of the highest homicide rates in the history of Indianapolis was there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure the vice president would like to work on trying to help figure that out. I'm not saying we have a challenge, and we know it. But to fix the problem, you have to be informed and not ill-informed. Somebody told the president once, you know, oh, let us just get tough. That's not the answer to this. We have to have proactive policing, but that's not the answer. What about the kids that need a mentor or a father figure, an adult in their life?
Right.
What about making sure there's certainty about gun crimes? There's going to be penalties around them. What about investing in neighborhoods where you can create local economic opportunity that's the best antidote to crime? So my thing is, it's helpful to have a president as a partner. I know the difference between not and having that partner. We're ready, but let's be actually informed about what the problem is, and therefore we can be informed about what the solution is, and not just kind of repeat stuff that's not only not true, but actually it's not helpful if people basically across the country say, oh, this president, they just shrug it as if it's not serious. That's not a good thing for us as a country.
Yeah.
If people don't take what the president's saying seriously. And that's, you know, you're allowed to have your own opinion, obviously. You just can't have your own facts.
You should know. You work for two presidents. Mr. Mayor, thank you for taking time. I know you're busy this morning. Appreciate the call.
I do want you guys on this. We're creating a blueprint for 40,000 jobs in just the next 3 years. And these are good-paying jobs for middle-class families. And it's a, you know, this is the five-year anniversary when I first gave this speech. We created over those 5 years 60,000 construction jobs. This is going to do in 3 years 40-plus thousand jobs. And that's all good and pay dividends today and generations to come.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Thank you, Mr.
Thanks,
Mayor.
All right, guys. See ya.
Take care. I'll make love to you like you want me to. And I'll hold Tuesday you is Valentine's Day. Dave, what are you doing for your wife?
We're actually, I think...
Don't be one of those guys that says, you know, we don't really celebrate Valentine's Day.
You know,
we celebrate it every day.
We've been married 32 years, Pete.
Go Cats.
No, we're going to go out to a nice dinner, and then I'm going to cook her dinner on Valentine's Day.
You're going to cook for her?
We're going to go out Saturday.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna
All right, you can bring the music down now.
What are you going to make?
Lobster tails.
Yep. Nice. Love it.
Very nice. Very romantic.
I got my wife a facial over the weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's a great gift.
I don't like people touching my face, especially for an hour.
Yeah, but it's good to exfoliate.
Nah, I don't need that.
Do a treatment of
guys
mask.
Don't exfoliate.
You
do
guys
they?
Should. You should take
a
care of your skin.
Massage would be nice, sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not offering.
I appreciate that, guys.
Yeah, maybe your wife would like to get you one.
He's having lobster tails, Pete. You coming over?
Yeah. Stop by. Make it three. We have Sweet Allie's Valentine's Treat Box to give away. 312-981-7200. Everyone can celebrate together with Sweet Allie's gluten-free baked goods located in Hinsdale and Glenview. Sweet Allie's offers a variety of sweet, savory, and special occasion baked goods, including dairy-free and vegan. Visit SweetAllies, ALIS.com to learn more. 312-981-7200. Okay. Senator Jeff Sessions confirmed last night as President Trump's Attorney General. Steve will have more coming up next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
8:14. The 8 o'clock hour is always brought to you by our good friends at Wintrust Community Banks. Let's bring in Dean Richards from WGN.
I was thinking about you last night.
Really?
Yeah, I was thinking I should stop by your house.
Come on over, man. Not too far from WGN.
No.
What's the address again?
And home phone number?
Let me write it down. Home phone. Who has a home phone anymore?
I don't know why. I was coming home from a screening and... it used to be my tradition that when I would get out of screenings would be the only time I get to hear me some Pete when you were on in the evening. And
right.
I was thinking, I haven't heard her talk to Pete in a long time. Pete occasionally will just drop me a text on something. He's kind of a random texter.
I love you, buddy.
I listen every single morning. And my favorite segment, and I've told you this, and I tell Cochran, is when you two, it's like the uncles at Thanksgiving dinner, when you two talk between 8 and 8:30.
The uncles it is. At Thanksgiving dinner.
The two guys, they have a bourbon segment? In hand.
That's
and
funny.
Yes.
You don't like the big stories or the sports cast?
Well, I mean, that's, yeah, well, yeah.
Nah.
No, don't put them in that corner.
Too late.
Let the man say
into,
what he has to say.
And then Dean goes into his French accent.
Oh, no. Oui, oui.
You see, we're going to be nominated for something for that this year.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The accents were very popular. You know, the dueling French accents? I feel it's coming on me now.
I have to go wee wee.
Charlie.
Yes.
Oh, Pepe Le Pew.
Bonjour.
See?
Oh, no.
It's not hard to get into, is it?
Once you get started,
you can't stop.
It's sickening.
Once you go down the Frenchie Trail, there's no coming back.
I have to admit, I thought Al Jarreau was dead. I didn't know he was coming to town. I apologize to Al Jarreau fans out there. It is sad news, though.
Here's one that we had discussion on in the office this morning. Jim J. Bullock, dead or alive?
Jim J. Bullock.
Remember him? Was it Too Close for Comfort?
That's right.
I think he's dead.
Absolutely alive.
Absolutely alive.
Yeah.
It's his birthday today. That's why it came up.
Thinking of the other Jim J. Bullock.
We just weren't thinking of Jim J. Bullock. It was his birthday, and somebody said, is he still alive? And I thought, like Andrea, I thought he was dead.
Oh, thank you, Dean.
Okay. Al Jarreau?
Alive.
Alive. Yes, correct.
Definitely alive.
Yes.
Because we're in this love together. That's the other thing that we're going to get an award for, my spontaneous singing like that.
Yes.
Al Jarreau was actually hospitalized a couple of days ago for exhaustion, and he's doing well. He's doing better, but his doctors have advised him to stop touring permanently. He's 76 years old, and they think it's just too much. He's been doing worldwide touring for 50 years now. And he said he's going to stop touring. He was supposed to appear at the Genesee Theater later on this month. You can get refunds for that. But on his website, he says how sorry he is that he has to stop touring, how much he's going to miss his fans. He's loved these 50 years. I've hosted many an Al Jarreau show back in my WNUA days. You know,
really?
Smooth jazz.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. Let's... Let's give it up for Smooth Al Jarreau.
I understand.
Does he have one of the most beautiful voices in the world?
Yeah.
Right? Smooth, beautiful.
You know what? I'm going to have to look up some tunes on YouTube.
Oh, come on. Seriously?
During traffic, yeah.
Dean, I think you do when you say smooth jazz.
Yeah. Jazzing up your morning, man.
And it's just
there he is.
Well, you know that song.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
I was backstage. I think it was the Star Plaza Theater about to introduce him. He walks out of his dressing room and comes. He's smoking a cigarette.
Sure. You can do that.
It's like that beautiful voice, that beautiful, smooth, lovely voice smoking a cigarette coming out of his dressing room that really surprised
Always
me.
Always smiling, Al Jarreau.
Always smiling. Very, very nice man. I hosted many of his shows, Ravinia, Chicago Theater. Couldn't be a nicer guy. Couldn't be more talented. And we're sorry to hear that. Glad he's doing better. Glad his health is better. Sad to hear that he will no longer be touring.
We have some Prince news coming up, and Michael Jackson's mother claiming elder abuse. Yeah. We'll check in with Dean in a second after traffic with Mayor.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Oh, 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 823, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, Dean Richards from WGN.
Tune him in because he's always ready.
That's me.
To the West Coast.
Yes. Dean, I knew it was just
Audrey,
a matter
of... When you say grab your significant other, you should be careful because that new 50 Shades movie is coming out. So that could take on...
A whole new meaning.
Really painful new meanings.
Dane, I mentioned this earlier.
Gently take...
When when 50 Shades of Grey came out, I went and saw it on a Monday, I want to say a few days after it came out, yep. And it was a 10 a.m. showing on a Monday morning, and I was in the theater by myself.
In the IMAX.
That's creepy.
IMAX, yeah.
You went to see it in the IMAX?
I wanted to talk about it on the radio. That's all that was available at 10 o'clock.
IMAX?
So you got this goofy guy sitting in the middle of the theater looking at his phone.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
It's weird.
Hey, that's that guy sitting in the theater all by himself.
Why is he wearing a trench coat?
Looks like he's jazzing up his own morning.
Ow! Yeah. What? Dean, it was just...
I bet you've never seen bigger butt cheeks in your life than that particular screening.
It was just a matter of time before Prince's family...
Was it 3D?
It was 3D.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it was.
50 Shades in the Round.
And IMAX.
50 Shades Darker tomorrow, by the way.
Prince's family
cashing in. Lego Batman movie. Is Pete here today? I thought Pete was thrilling it today. Lego Batman movie, and
I can't wait to see that.
What's the other one? John Wick 2. Oh, the Lego Batman movie's awesome.
Great.
It's awesome. But I'll tell you about that tomorrow.
I want to hear about Prince. His family's cashing in, right?
As we were saying. What?
Prince's family?
Cashing in? You mean an auction? Like today, for example?
Yeah.
You tell me which of these Prince items you'd like me to purchase for you today. These are all items that Prince actually wore in concert, in the Purple Rain movie, concerts, etc. The Lucite glitter cane that he frequently used to walk around during shows is a starting bid $1,500. Pete would look good in a cane, sporting a cane.
Yeah, an accessory.
Embroidered cream-colored plush wool coat, $8,000 opening bid for that. Black lace gloves. You know, we're still in wintertime.
Uh-huh.
Nice black lace gloves, $2,000. Some stage-worn wrist cuffs. These are leather cuffs that, you know, go around your wrists.
So it's a leather wristband.
Your typical leather wrist cuff.
Except there's fringe on them. There's fringe. $2,500 opening price. You can see the full collection at rrauction.com.
That's crazy. Who's going to spend that type of money?
Prince, I'll bet you they're going to go for way more than that.
Jeez.
Prince fans, you want a little piece of the rock.
Wow.
A little something to remember him by.
Where's the money go, Dean? Charity?
I believe it goes to the charity of the Prince Estate. Yeah.
The charity of the Prince Estate, which is his family.
It's his family, right.
Has the museum opened up?
17 brothers and sisters. It has. Yes, there were delays in it, but it has opened up. I understand from people who've been that it's great. I have not much like to get up to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Yeah,
I've had a chance to get up there.
That's not a trip
I'm
taking
anytime
soon.
John Williams can tell us about that when he comes back.
John's been there. Do they still have the chain link fence around the house?
That I don't know.
I always thought that was odd. I mean, you're a multi-millionaire. You have a chain link fence.
Yeah, you need something, or get some wrought iron. If you need the security, get some wrought iron.
Yes,
with that Prince emblem. You know what I mean? The arrowy thing.
That little deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The little emblem of his little deal on the fence. Exactly.
The symbol, right?
Okay, by far, I didn't think this segment could get any weirder than it does when Steve's here.
It has.
Yeah.
It really has.
This is a weird one today.
I'll bring back Al Jarreau in a second. But Michael Jackson's mother, this is serious stuff.
This
I read this yesterday.
Is serious stuff. The mother of Michael and Janet and all the Singing Jackson family. Claiming elder abuse, that she's been the victim of elder abuse at the hands of her nephew, who is also her driver, Trent Lamar Jackson, according to People magazine. She's 86 years old. She claims that he accessed her bank accounts without permission, used her credit cards without permission, and has subjected her to years of mental abuse, literally leaving her afraid to go into her own home. There has been no response from Trent Lamar Jackson on the allegations, but there has been a hearing that's set for March 1st. So hopefully it'll be resolved.
As her driver, he received a six-figure salary.
Wow.
To drive her around. Crazy.
Not bad.
Ridiculous. And Oprah, she's remaking a new 80s movie.
She is
an old 80s movie.
Yeah, well, I guess it doesn't seem like that long ago, but actually it is 1984. Four is when Shirley MacLaine got an Academy Award for Terms of Endearment, one of the great movies of all time, one of the great performances of all time. Oprah is in talks with Lee Daniels to remake that movie. Lee Daniels presents Terms of Endearment.
Lee Daniels Terms of Endearment. if it couldn't get any more of a tearjerker.
So Oprah is supposed to be talking to them about taking over the Aurora character, the character that Shirley MacLaine played. That'll be interesting to see her take on it.
It was a great movie.
That scene at the nurse's station.
Oh, my God.
Where it's time for my daughter's medication. Give my daughter her medication.
The most heart-wrenching. Yeah, that gut-wrenching. And when she told the little boys.
Oh, don't. You're going to make me cry. Stop.
I know. Dean, I know you're tight with her. Any talks of Deborah Winger reprising her role?
I hope so. I'm very close with Deborah Winger. We've talked never since the day that she threw a microphone on the floor and walked off the set one day.
You're kidding.
She was a little, I don't know.
Was it like the scene in Officer and a Gentleman at the end when she got carried out? Maybe she was trying to remake that?
It was more storming off the set. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
I forget what movie she had. She hadn't made a movie in a really long time. And this, she was in this little independent film and came on WGN. I think it was the midday news that she came on. And she was just in a bad mood. She was just cranky, you know. So, you know, we talk show hosts. We all do this. Pete does this. Everyone, you know, you talk to the people ahead of time. You know, just trying to make them feel a little more comfortable.
Sure.
She was just in a bad mood. There was no getting her out of this bad mood. So this movie, I say introducing it. In her new movie, she plays the estranged wife of a Vietnam veteran and blah, blah, blah. And she stops me. No, I don't. That's not what I play. It's like, well, I saw the movie. How would you describe it? Well, I used to be married to this guy who was in Vietnam and now he's back. But the marriage isn't working out. We're not divorced, but, you know, we're not really living together. So I said, so in other words, you are the estranged wife of a Vietnam veteran.
Right.
I could have let it go, but I didn't. And, you know, I said, you know, you haven't done a movie in a long time. Well, what should I have been doing? You seem to be an expert on my career. So the whole interview was just like that. At the end, she, you know, we have these little tiny microphones that clip on your shirt. She takes it off and throws it on the floor and storms off live. We're live on TV. I wish I had a tape of it because it was a fantastic moment.
Damn.
God bless her. I hope she's doing well.
Yeah. She hasn't done much since then anyway.
Since sending her all my love. We'll send her some Al Jarreau records.
So what? There he is. So tomorrow we're going to talk movies. We'll talk Lego Batman and...
Lego Batman.
John
Wick.
John
Chapter
Wick.
2. John Wick Chapter 2, the new Keanu Reeves movie.
Okay.
And what was the third one I said? Oh, 50 Shades...
50 Shades
of
Darker.
Naughty, of Spank Me.
Yes.
50 Shades of Spank Me.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's tomorrow.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Thank you, Dean.
Bye.
Dean Richards from WGN. Remember, this hour is always brought to you by our good friends at Wintrust Community Banks. The big story coming up next. Donald Trump tweeted Nordstrom's yesterday. There's some fallout. Andrea, details on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
8:43, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. The 8 o'clock hour is powered by Wintrust Community Banks. You can hear our next guest weeknights at 11 o'clock right here on 720 WGN, Patty Vasquez. Patty, you're in Springfield, is that right?
I am. I'm going over my notes, so I make sure I get all of this right for you for the exciting activities in Springfield of our state government. Let me tell you, it's awful. It's really bad, Pete. Good morning.
Our state's in the toilet, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's not enough Drano for this. Let me tell you, it's a mess. I don't know what you've heard, but there was supposed to be some compromise in the Senate, a huge package of bills, like 13 bills, that the governor and Minority Leader Redonio, they were going to get all the Republicans on board. They were compromising with Cullerton. All of that collapsed yesterday. Nothing happened. So there you go.
You're kidding.
Nothing.
This is the problem in Springfield. There is no compromise whatsoever. I just don't understand it.
Well, Pete, here's one of the things that's maddening is that there's actually one bill that they called for a vote that everyone said out loud they were for, and the Republicans voted against it, which was consolidating municipal governments. Because we have more municipalities and smaller branches of government than anywhere else in the country.
Right.
And Rauner's report, and the Republicans were like, nah, never mind.
Patty, what was the you tweeted out a picture yesterday and you were listening. It was a committee hearing. And was that like a mini filibuster?
Well, so the way bills get brought onto the floor of either the House or the Senate is a certain committee. They're read to a committee and the committee decides if it's good enough to be considered by the full branch, whether it's the House or the Senate. And this one was hysterical. It was Representative McDermott. And she wanted there to be legislation that says they cannot pass any legislation that makes their constituents happy during an election year.
What
she wanted.
That makes, you can't pass any bill that makes constituents happy during an election year?
Yes, that was the legislation. And the looks on everyone's faces on the committee, they were like, I'm sorry, what? So one of the reps said, so what you're saying is, and I want you to say this out loud, that you are against a property tax freeze during an election year. And she said, I don't agree with your logic.
What? What are they doing?
Went to the Sean exactly. Spicer School of Spin.
Thank you. It was compelling stuff, let me tell you. And then there was a legislation on using whether or not we should stop using soy ink in the state, like all of our state branches on digital printing. I don't know. I really, my head just bounced off the wall.
You're kidding. This is what they're doing in Springfield. Oh, that my happened. God. Well, Patty, you were down there yesterday when the announcement was made that Chris Kennedy was going to run for governor. What was the talk when you were there?
Basically, I think unleash the billionaires now is what it's going to, because J.B. Pritzker is considering, people are talking about that too, that maybe that's what it's going to take, because Governor Rauner has pumped another $50 million into his own campaign. So I guess that's where we are now. But there are other people. There's talk about other people possibly running. Alderman Pilar is in there, and there are a couple of senators that there are rumblings about, but I don't know if I'm supposed to say.
So,
I promise I will let you know. Yes.
Patty, talk a little bit about House Bill 40. You went down to make sure that Representative Feigenholz read that into the law to protect the trigger law actually to get rid of the trigger law, correct?
Right. So the 1970s, after Roe v. Wade was decided upon by the Supreme Court, the state of Illinois legislature decided to come up with legislation. And in a case that was ever overturned, abortions would be automatically illegal in the state of Illinois, as well as certain forms of contraception, including IUDs and birth control pills. So she read that into the record that was presented, and that is made it out of committee and will go to the House of Representatives, which is where the bigger battle, I think, will be in the state. Because there's going to be a lot of resistance. And the Catholic Church had a lobbyist there to talk about how it was interesting. It wasn't heated. It was a very calm conversation, which I think is going to build over time.
You know what? Working on WGN, you're learning politics each day. You learn something new. And I started watching House of Cards. I binge watched it the last month. And everything is a deal. Everything is negotiation. You have to take, you just have to be calm when you're trying to cut a deal. It's just ridiculous how these politicians speak to each other.
Well, I think this is a battle, too, of obviously Michael Madigan, who has extreme amounts of experience and power. Governor Rauner, who's used to having a lot of power but not having a lot of experience when it comes to how all of this goes down in the form of negotiation at the state level. And the other thing, too, is that people talk about putting a businessman in charge of the state, but a state government isn't supposed to run at a profit. So that it's not the job of the government to run at a profit. It's a job, they decide how money is supposed to be spent, whether it's roads or social services, and how to generate revenue. So it's negotiation is really tough here.
Well, the problem is we spend too much money. We spend more money than we bring in.
Right.
That's the big problem.
We need to pay the bills and pay the social service agencies, for the work as schools.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Police, firefighters, all that. And there are promises that we've made to pensions and what they did in the going back to actually 50 years almost, they started dipping into the pension funds and it got worse during the 80s and 90s. And they used it like a credit card and not understanding what that was going to mean down the road.
Yep. Yeah.
So they say kicking the can down the field, and we are full out of field, folks. This is it.
And Patty, being down there, one last thing. The life of a lobbyist, isn't it strange?
Because
all they do is just work people. They do. That's their job. They get paid to just work people and just break them down.
I talked to a rep who stays at a hotel where there's a breakfast buffet. By the way, there's the way you eat in Springfield is make sure you eat all your vitamins in Chicago and then come down. But she said that she can't eat it because she can't have breakfast in hotels because the lobbyists will bother her. She's like, this is as though you came into my kitchen and sat down with me at breakfast and thought this was okay.
That's what they do. Patty B, you can hear her weeknights at 11 o'clock. Great to talk to you, Pat. I heard it weeks ago. I sent you a text during the show.
You did.
Okay, when
you
I
did.
Wasn't working here, and I said, hey, I want to be on your team.
And I asked you this morning,
yes,
are you climbing?
And I said, I will know on February 28th when I go back to the doctor.
That's like 6 days before the climb.
I know, man. If he gives me the okay, I'm in.
Yeah, he had a boot. You got to give him a little break.
He had surgery.
I know. I admire his toughness.
I'm like a star quarterback, man. I'm ready to go at any time.
We're ready to go at any time.
Well, if you get the green light on February 28th, and you're in. You're part of it.
You need me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm your ringer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really
need
am.
Andrea, but she's like, I got to work.
No, I have to work. I'm writing a nice big check, which the whole purpose is to raise money.
You're right.
For a great cause.
Yes. They want the cash.
Yeah, I'd pass out if I did all four.
The 8 o'clock hour, of course, brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks, and we have some news this morning.
If this couldn't get any more bizarre, we've been talking about Donald Trump yesterday tweeting angrily at Nordstrom for dropping Ivanka's line. He said she'd been treated so unfairly. Well, Kellyanne Conway on Fox News, Fox and Friends, literally about 20 minutes ago, saying this.
Who's been a champion for women empowerment, sure. Women in the workplace, to get to him.
Just,
so I think people can see through that.
30
go
seconds.
Go buy Ivanka's stuff is what I would say. I hate shopping. I'm going to go get some on myself today.
There is that hashtag buy Ivanka right now.
The longer they drag these things out, the worse they get.
Well,
they just have to let it go.
The chief of staff of the president of the United States, or chief counsel, saying I'm going to give Ivanka a free commercial right now, which again goes against everything that he was distancing himself.
He left the business. That was part of the deal to join the government.
Go buy Ivanka's stuff was the quote.
Wow. Keeps getting worse. All right. Excuse me. 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 9:10. We're live on 720 WGN and CLTV. If you need some help for Valentine's Day, we have the answer. There's a new restaurant in the Southport corridor called Coda de Volpe, and we have the owners in studio with us, Ryan O'Donnell and Billy Lawless. First of all, thanks for coming. You got to love this music. I feel like we need to hold each other. Come close, guys.
Cheers, Pete. Thanks for that.
This is nice. It's good. Finally, and I said this to Ryan, I don't know if I said it to you, Billy, it's nice to have a fine dining experience in the Southport corridor. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, we're really excited. We felt the same need ourselves. We live close to the area, so couldn't be happier.
Billy, you live nearby?
Yeah, I just live a mile down the road on George.
Okay, Billy and I met years ago when I did a story. I was doing a TV show. We stopped by the Gauge, and I always remember the fried egg. And I've been back there many times, and I've had the egg.
Yeah, the Scotch egg's been on since we opened 10 years ago.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Dave Ennett doesn't eat fried foods.
But I might make an exception for this based on Pete's recommendation.
It's not too bad. Have it with a Guinness.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking.
The Irish Fellowship is a luncheon. All the Irishmen get together, and everybody drinks at the Chicago Hilton right before Christmas. It's the first Saturday every single year before Christmas. And I was there at Kitty O'Shea's, of course, after the luncheon. And I go downstairs and I see this man sitting in the corner at the bar. And people come up. They're shaking his hand. They're hugging him. He's like the godfather. And I find out it's your father.
Yeah, I got a few envelopes as well.
I mean, it was like the Irish mob. You come over, pay your respects to your father and shake his hand.
Yeah, he's really embraced Chicago since he moved. He moved here in January 1st, 1998, and he always wanted to live in America. He always wanted to, work here, and he loves America. So,
when did you come over?
I came in 6 months later, in June 1998.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Ryan, where did you grow up?
I grew up, my family's from the Wilmette area.
Okay.
But my formative years were in Tucson, Arizona, actually. So I was there for 10 years, from 7 to 17.
So fast forward, and you guys own two different restaurants. How many, you own what? How many? Four?
I have five right now.
Five right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And what are they?
The Gauge, Acanto, Coda de Volpe, Beacon Tavern, and the Dawson.
Okay. And Ryan?
I have Coda de Volpe with Billy, and then my other restaurant, Gemini Bistro, which is going to soon be called Gemini, is going under rejuvenation right now. So
okay.
We shut it down for 3 months and doing a whole redesign and stuff.
How do you guys come together? I mean, restaurant people. I know it's a small community, just like any other business, especially radio. It's a very small community, so you know everybody. But how do you come together and partner?
We met up in the Russian baths, actually.
On Division? No.
Absolutely.
I knew that was going to be a good one.
What?
Yeah.
People still go there?
All the time.
How do you come up with the idea? You say, hey, man, I got an idea for a restaurant. What do you want to do? Ryan?
Pretty much. We knew we liked this building on Southport. It had a little charm to it. I drove by it every night on the way home and gave Billy a call one day, and he drove by. And next day, he said, yeah, let's do it. So we ended up purchasing the property. We tore the building down and rebuilt the whole thing from scratch, and found Billy had a contact of a chef out in California, our chef Chris Thompson,
who came from
a restaurant called A16 out there in San Francisco, and he has a passion and love for Southern Italian food, and we kind of hit it off with him, and then Italian was one of the concepts we were considering, and then when we met Chris, it all kind of fell in place.
Yeah, we actually gave him the job without even trying his food. Yeah, he interviewed that well.
Wait a second. Well, yeah. What are you guys doing?
I know.
Abnormal, yeah.
Really? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Luck of the Irish.
Yeah. You know what's so cool, especially with the Chicago restaurant scene, and you see this too, Pete, because you eat out a lot. You always have to make a reservation now, which is great.
Yeah.
You have to do it at least a few days, maybe weeks in advance. And the restaurants usually are always full, even on the weekdays.
Yeah, the industry's really blossomed in the last 10 years for sure. I mean, when I moved here in 98, I mean, the explosion of the scene here has been immense. And, especially platforms like OpenTable also make it a lot easier for guests to try their restaurants. And it's a very important platform for us, too, as operators.
How about the food shows? How much has that helped? Because I feel like I have an 11-year-old. All he wants to do is cook. And if we go out to eat, we'll look at the presentation before we eat the food.
Yeah.
I mean, these little kids nowadays, they don't watch MTV, and they're watching the Food Network.
Yeah, it kind of actually does a disservice to us from a labor standpoint of view, because everyone wants to get to be the head chef and doesn't really want to do the grind work.
You're so right. They don't want to pay their dues anymore, do they?
It's gotten a little glamorized, and it's helped people want to visit restaurants. But from a labor standpoint of view, it's actually been somewhat of a con. So,
okay. Well, tell us about Coda di Volpe, because one of my favorite things on the menu, it's the pasta with the sausage.
Yeah, so that's
the fennel sausage. Here it is right here.
Yeah, that's a trombette trapanese, and trombette is small trumpets. And so they're kind of curly Q pastas, and trapanese is a type of pesto, tomato-based pesto with almond and basil.
I mean, it's such a great dish, and it's a wonderful experience.
Despite its name.
Right. Trombone stuff. We're going to talk about Valentine's Day. I got to take a quick break, but we're going to talk about Valentine's Day and the way guys should. I don't know if it's their manners at Valentine's dinner. I feel like it should be a little bit better than normally going out to eat.
You're all I need, my love, my Valentine's.
It is 9:21. We have the owners of Coda di Volpe in studio with us at 3335 North Southport. That is Southport and Henderson for Valentine's Day. I'll be there at 6 o'clock. What time are my reservations? 6?
Anytime you want, Pete.
Just show up.
We'll have a table waiting.
It's interesting when you have the mothers talking in the neighborhood, because my wife went there with her girlfriends, and she came home. She's like, we got a great new restaurant in the neighborhood. We have to go. It's crazy, the word of mouth in Chicago when there's a good restaurant.
Well, the neighborhood's been great. They've really embraced us since we opened. We opened the end of July, and the feedback and the support from the neighborhood's been fantastic.
And Southport has kind of turned over. You have that, the old Justin's now is a taco joint right across the street. You got Rise right down the street, which I think is the best sushi in the city.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. And you guys right there.
Yeah, I need a few more, actually. I mean, there's still not a lot of options there, to be honest with you.
Right. So, yeah. How long are they going to be ripping up the street there? What's Rom doing?
I think it's a 30 to 45 day plan, but it's all the way from Addison to Belmont.
They did our streets. I live nearby, so they did our streets last summer.
So yeah, it's much needed. There's some flooding issues depending on what corner in the neighborhood. So
now your restaurant, you have the kitchen. Is it downstairs?
The kitchen is in the basement. Yep.
So you have someone running the food upstairs the entire time.
He's a beast.
Yes, Sergio is unbelievable.
It's crazy. Think about that. How many times are you going to the kitchen, and how many servers do you have? You have a guy that's running food up the stairs. That's nuts.
Yeah.
So when you built this space, did you think, okay, we'll put the kitchen downstairs and we'll get a runner or what?
Yeah, absolutely. We had to put the kitchen downstairs because it's not a full lot. So to maximize the seating and get enough dining space upstairs. We put the kitchen downstairs and left the display pizza oven upstairs. So that brings a little energy to the kitchen into the dining room.
And how did you come up with the idea? One of the appetizers, of course, you can get the pizza, but you have people cut their own pizza with the scissors.
Yes. So that we cannot take credit for that one. That's Chris Thompson like that idea. So they're special scissors that are kind of offset, and it's just a way for guests to get interactive with the food and kind of cut their own slice.
Right.
Small slice, big slice.
People don't know how to react. Well, I got to cut this with the scissors. How do I use this thing?
Exactly.
Well, it's a scissors. What do you mean?
So it's a talking point, and then people have never done it. So it's just, just kind of getting people involved. And then, of course, we'll cut it for them if they don't want to do it themselves.
It protects the integrity of the pizza, too, because it comes out of the oven in about 90 seconds.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Damn, you got to serve food quick. People want their food, so you got to make it quick. I mean, you're just running nonstop. I can't imagine what a kitchen's going to be like. It's got to be nuts.
It's like an orchestra.
isn't it?
With a mad conductor.
And if something breaks down, you're in trouble.
Yeah, well, usually it's kind of crisis management at its best.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Valentine's Day, because I feel like there's people that say, Valentine's Day, we don't really celebrate. Well, in our house, especially my wife, she expects a nice dinner. And if you go out, you just can't be a slob. You got to be on your game. Am I right?
I think so, yeah.
You got to be on your game. You got to go to a nice restaurant, number one, and you got to make it a fun dining experience.
You probably should watch Breakfast at Tiffany's first.
Get some manners.
Yeah, absolutely.
But any advice for guys listening out there for Valentine's Day?
I like to make Valentine's Day a little more incentive-based. I typically weigh my wife once a year, depending on the scale. She either gets a juice cleanse or a luxury gift.
Wow.
That's so good.
Sorry, Kathy.
Yes.
I jest.
There it is, the buzzer. Thank you for that. Oh, man. Could you imagine? Honey, get on the scale. We're going to go out to dinner, and then we'll come back. Yeah.
Took you long enough for that one, Billy.
Sorry.
No, but I feel like if you go out on a Valentine's Day, I mean, step up your game just a little bit.
I think you just got to actually just go all out for it and embrace it. You know,
right.
Start with flowers. You know, make the day all about your lady.
Do you have people calling you in advance? This is what I'm going to do at my table. Can you send some flowers over? Or I'm going to have this.
It happens. It actually happened last night, and we sent one of the managers down the street to grab some flowers for the table. But on Valentine's Day, we'll have roses up front, so the hostess will seat each couple or party with a rose. So.
And how do you keep things fresh? Like, you have a special Valentine's Day menu. How do you come up with these ideas? Because if you're a restaurant that's been around for 10, 15, 20 years, you got to keep reinventing yourself. Am I right?
Absolutely. I think just giving the guests letting the guests know that you care about their customs. So, you know, to do daily specials, to embrace the special holidays like Valentine's Day, things like that, it really just makes your regulars feel that, you know, you care about their experience.
I always heard that you should order the special because the chef, it's his baby. Is that right?
Absolutely. Sometimes kicking and screaming, but sometimes they really embrace it also.
Ryan, why are you smiling? It's like, the damn chef again with the ego.
The kicking and screaming part was spot on there. But yeah, the chefs usually like to put their best foot forward with their special and ordering special product for it. And especially the Valentine's Day menu. Nothing on our menu for Valentine's Day you see crossover to our regular menu. So it's all new stuff, and it's going to be exciting.
How often or how much in advance do you have to plan this menu? 2 months?
No, not 2 months, but we did start it about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And just started brainstorming how we want to price it, how we want to course it, you know, what choices need to be done, and then are we doing wine pairing and stuff like that with it, and so we're doing a champagne toast and things like that. So,
and do you feel like you can't make a mistake? You're only 6 months old at Coda de Volpe.
Well, we all have pretty good experience in the business, so you know we rely on past mistakes and try not to make those again. But we don't
always like I got mistakes.
We don't always get it. We don't always get it right, but. But, you know, this one's looking good so far.
Meatballs smell delicious.
And, well, for the people that are watching on CLTV, what'd you bring in?
Okay, so we have a chef selection here. This is what we like to send out to the tables when we are late on reservations.
We're running a little late. Here's a bunch of meat.
Yeah, so it's actually a combination of some vegetables. You got pickled vegetables, some mixed olives, a couple different cheeses there. And then, yeah, we do all of our charcuterie in-house. So we do salami picante, we have a brazzala, and then the prosciutto San Daniel we get out of house. But
okay.
But yeah, so that's that. And then the meatballs, mortadella and prosciutto meatballs, kind of a special special mix there.
Just, so good.
Yeah, braised in a classic tomato sauce. And then for dessert, we brought a espresso budino. And a budino is an Italian pudding custard dish. And it's topped with some house-made toffee and some ladyfinger cookies and a brandied mascarpone.
O'Donnell and Lawless, why an Italian restaurant?
We're Irish and we'll chance anything.
Mary's digging in.
I love that. Ryan O'Donnell and Billy Lawless, it's good to see you guys. Continued success over at Coda de Volpe.
Pete, thanks to me. Thanks for having us on.
And what's the website for people listening right now that they can go to?
CDVolpe.com.
CDVolpe.
Billy just looked down at the menu to make sure that was
CDVolpe. Billy's like,
CDVolpe.
I got up for this.
Don't ask me the phone number either.
Right. Cheers, give the phone number. Go ahead for Valentine's Day.
That one I do have to look at. 773-687-8568.
All right. Coda de Volpe on Southport. Ryan O'Donnell and Billy Lawless, thanks for coming in. It's good to see you
Thank
guys.
Thank you, Pete.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks a million.
We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All my friends.
9:42, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back on Monday. The auto show officially kicks off on Saturday, but tomorrow is the first look for charity at the auto show. We'll have a pair of VIP credentials from Fifth Third Bank to give away in a second. You can stop by tomorrow afternoon from 10 to 2. But one of the charities that will benefit from tomorrow night is the 100 Club of Chicago. In studio with us is the president, Joe Ahern. You look fantastic, man. Look at that suit he's wearing. Black suit with the stripes. You look like a mobster. You look good. You just get back from a trip. I feel like you're tan, too.
No. It's just the cold weather.
The cold weather. Yes. Putting some red in your face.
Yeah.
100 Club. Explain to people what it is, first of all.
Well, actually, we're commemorating 50 years in existence. 1966, we came into being in August. And when a police officer, firefighter, or anyone in state, local, federal law enforcement is killed in the line of duty here in Cook County or Lake County, we give the widow $50,000, and then we send all the kids to college. And sadly, we have had 261 fatalities over those 50 years, and we've given away over $10 million. Just in the last year, we've had four fatalities, and we have right now we have 18 young sons and daughters of policemen and firemen that are in college right now, thanks to all the people that support the 100 Club. And we have 67 more young people that are going to be coming of age that will go to college because of the support of our mission.
I can't imagine losing a spouse or a mother or a father as a first responder. I mean, a police officer, firefighter, paramedic, losing them is one thing, but thinking about the financial burden that you have to carry, and that's where you come in.
Yeah, it's really a blessing. I mean, we show up within the first 12 hours, certainly within the first 24 hours, to give them the check and tell them that we're going to be with them forever. And I usually, I'm there and I say, I'm from the 100 Club family. And they're in a daze, really. They don't know what happened. And I tell them that we're here from the 100 Club family. We're going to be with your family, and we'll help you throughout this. And it's really a blessing that so many people support our cause and that we're able to, you know, bring these people to a happy ending after such a tragedy. We're going to have so many 100 Club families with us tomorrow night. Through the generosity of McGrath Lexus and Mike McGrath and Fifth Third Bank and many of our other sponsors and supporters, who have turned back tickets so that we can invite 100 Club families to this, to our suite tomorrow night, and we'll be, you know, having a great time with them and celebrating.
I was going to ask you about Junior. Mike McGrath Jr. has been involved with you, the 100 Club, for years. How did you two hook up?
You know, his dad and I have been great friends for, gosh, about 30 years, and then Mike has taken over the business. And it was Mike Jr. that was our sponsor 5 years ago for us to be part of the Chicago Auto Trade Association and this great event. And he has been just a tremendous supporter. You know, his dad is going to be there tomorrow night with Christina, and Mike will be there. And it was Mike's idea to make sure that we get these tickets for all the families so that we can have them, and so they get a chance to really have a wonderful evening and, you know, for a great cause.
Joe Ahern in studio with us, the president of the 100 Club. You have a great job, but you also have a very sad job. You know,
it's an emotional roller coaster.
It really is.
It's an emotional roller coaster, Pete. You know, you see people at just the worst. And then tomorrow night we're going to have Peg Fliss there with her mom. And Peg lost her dad 6 years ago, day after Thanksgiving. And he was tragically murdered. And Peg went on to DePaul University, graduated with honors, went to John Marshall Law School on a full ride because of the 100 Club. And now she's she passed the bar exam in July, and now she's a practicing attorney at the Illinois State's Attorney's Office. And so you see these families that really rebound because of the strength of the support of all the people that really care about our police officers and firefighters. And we'll have many of the police officers and firefighters, the command staff, will be there as our guests so that we can acknowledge them and thank them for all that they do every day.
The law enforcement community, it's such a solid community, don't you find, Joe? Everybody always rallies, but to have an extra gift like this really makes life a little easier in everything that they have to deal with, too, planning the funeral and then moving forward after a tragedy occurs.
Yeah, Andrea, it's very, very hard to really understand how difficult that job is. And these are generations of families that, you know, their dad, their granddad was a police officer or a firefighter.
Sure.
And they continue that service and commitment. And they're really a great group of people. I'm blessed to be, you know, working with them.
I mean, if you go to Chicago, New York, Boston, it's the same thing. It runs through families. You're looking at five generations of firefighters and police officers.
Yeah, that's true. And they really support one another. But it's important that the people on the street, when you see a police officer or a firefighter or a sheriff, go up and thank them for their service because they really appreciate that. They hear all the bad news, but and they have to experience these tragedies every single day. They're dealing with the worst of humanity in many cases, and many times the best of humanity. But to have someone come up and say, hey, thank you, we really appreciate what you're doing out there, means a lot to them.
I see that more and more. Don't you guys as well? When I was covering the farewell speech, the Obama farewell speech, all of the officers were lined up, and everybody leaving, and at the Women's March, too, where they were going up to all the officers and saying, thank you for what you do, and thank you for protecting us, and thank you for keeping us safe. I see that more and more now.
Yeah, it's terrific. It's heartwarming, and they certainly deserve it.
Are there tickets still available for tomorrow night?
Boy, I'm glad you asked that, Pete. Yes, go to 100clubchicago.org, 100clubchicago.org. You can call us at 312-265-0920, and you can order tickets if you designate the 100 Club. A large portion of that goes to the 100 Club for us to continue our mission. And if you do get tickets and come tomorrow night, please stop by our suite and just ask anyone where the 100 Club suite is. We'll be the loudest and the most raucous.
That's for sure. I was there last year. It's crazy. I mean, when you walk in the McCormick place, it's humongous, first of all. But then you have these small parties in these rooms. And you have probably a double room, usually.
Yes.
And Joe walks around and, of course, he's wearing black tie, but he wears these black slippers every single year. Because, you know, you wear the black shoes and you're walking around McCormick Place, your feet start to hurt. Where do you get those slippers? You wear the same ones every year, right?
I do. I'm so sorry you brought that up, Pete.
The black slippers.
Everyone's going to be looking at his
the
slippers now.
Of the 100 Club. Yeah.
You know, I was actually getting gas after the auto show a couple of years ago, and a guy came up with a squeegee that was going to wash the windows, and he said, hey, I really like those shoes. He says, I bet you they cost about $300. I said, no, they weren't that much. And he said, do you know what the greatest nation in the world is? And this was out on Division Street. And I said, and this is like, you know, 12 o'clock at night, and I'm watching them. And I said, what's the greatest nation in the world? He said, a donation.
So if people buy tickets, of course, they can hang out in your suite and food and drinks. And then they can go in the big hall where you can see the cars and the food and the drinks. And it's just wonderful. one big party.
Yeah, they really pull out all the stops. I mean, every car dealership and corporations has bars and bands and food, and it's terrific. And then around 8:30, they're going to be giving away two Lexuses, and we're going to have many of the 100 Club families there with us on stage, and it's going to be really a very exciting time. It's about 8:30 tomorrow night, and last year I think they had over 10,000 people in attendance.
I've been there every single year. I can't make it this year. My son has two basketball games tomorrow night. This is the first year I've missed in years. It's a great Chicago event. It really is.
It really is. It's such a fun time. Great way to get the year kicked off. And it's our biggest fundraiser of the year.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Joe, what's the website again?
100clubchicago.org or call 312-265-0920. And we'd love you to, designate the 100 Club if you're buying tickets and coming. And we'd love to see you in our suite.
It's great to see you again, man.
Great to see you, Pete. Thank
you. Joe Ahern, it's 720 WG.
Come climb the stairs of the Presidential Towers with us.
I'm in 100%.
Sunday, March 5th, the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb, presented by United Healthcare at Presidential Towers in the West Loop, Chicago's biggest stair climb. Pete's going to be there. Andrea's going to be there in spirit. You can climb 1, 2, 3, or all four towers. But she's going to make a big donation.
Do you do all four towers?
All four towers.
Last time I did this 2 years ago, I did four towers.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's great. Once you get into the
And here's
groove,
the deal. Here's how I think people are cheating is because they go up one tower and then they slowly walk to the next one. I ran to each tower.
Right, right. But you're not being timed between towers.
I time myself.
Well,
I do.
Wow, yep. You're really competitive. Uh-huh.
Stepping up my
game. But you don't have to look at it. It's a fun event, and it's a great cause. You're helping the American Lung Association. 89 cents of every dollar raised goes directly to education, research, and advocacy. So support the WGN radio team. Register or pledge online at fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100. Pete and I will see you there on Sunday, March 5th.
You put together a playlist. What's your first song?
I haven't gotten to it yet. I'm waiting for your mixtape.
I mix in the Rocky theme, different songs from the soundtrack.
That's a good one to start with.
Yeah.
Rocky IV had a good soundtrack.
Not bad. I also go like a remix dance version of Rocky by I have on my phone. All right.
By the Pointer Sisters.
Time for a break. Bill and Wendy are coming up next. We'll do some crosstalk at 720 WGN.